Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians right along the Southern California coast. Together, we seek to grow in our individual spirituality and in connected community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. For more information, visit our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
The first scripture this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout. Violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. For I hear many whispering, terror is all around. Denounce him. Let us denounce him. All my close friends are watching for me to stumble. Perhaps he can be enticed, and we can prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a terrifying warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble, and they will not prevail. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, you test the righteous. You see the heart and the mind. Let me see your retribution upon them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. For he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of evildoers. The second scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. Disciples aren't greater than their teacher, and slaves aren't greater than their master. It's enough for disciples to be like their teacher and slaves like their master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, it's certain that they will call the members of this household by even worse names. Therefore, don't be afraid of those people, because nothing is hidden that won't be revealed, and nothing secret that won't be brought out into the open. What I say to you in the darkness, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, announce from the rooftops. Don't be afraid of those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Instead, be afraid of the one who can destroy the body and soul in hell. Aren't two sparrows sold for a small coin? But not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father knowing about it already. Even the hairs of your head all are counted. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before people, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But everyone who denies me before people, I will also deny my Father before my Father who is in heaven. Don't think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I haven't come to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. People's enemies are members of their own households. Those who love father or mother more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who love son or daughter more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who don't pick up their crosses and follow me aren't worthy of me. Those who find their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives because of me will find them. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
In 1739, John Wesley preached in an open field for the first time. Coal miners, dock workers, families the church and elites would rather ignore. He and his friends had already been visiting prisoners and gathering groups to ask honest questions about difficult lives. The name they were given, Methodists, wasn't a compliment. In his journal, Wesley called it submitting to be more vile. This is our history. These are our people. This summer at La Jolla United Methodist Church, we explore their story and what it means for ours.
Friends, I bring you greetings from Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank, Bishop of the California Pacific Annual Conference. I bring you greetings from our conference lay leader, Mele Maka. I bring you greetings from our district lay leader, Michael Mitchell. I bring you greetings from Dolores Williamston, Bishop of the Louisiana Episcopal Area and Annual Conference, who preached at the commissioning and ordination service just yesterday. It's been a long week, my friends, and I confess to you that I am weary. I was here in the office on Monday of this week as we finalized our order of worship, our printed bulletin that is in your hands, and the piece of paper, we call it a schematic, that has a bit more information that our AV crew, that Bob and I and Rebecca have, that has just, you know, some more direction to it. We finalized all that on Monday, and then I left Tuesday morning to drive to La Quinta to stay in the La Quinta Resort and Spa, where we were holding our annual conference session. I'm told that this annual conference session had more people registered and present than any annual conference session since before COVID. It was good. We gathered together colleagues and friends in ministry, and we did good work together. Now, I share all this with you in part because I have, some of you know this, I have a leadership role in our annual conference. I serve as the annual conference secretary, and what this means is oh so much more than taking minutes during the meeting. Indeed, I have a team for that work, and also a team that helps manage the overall agenda of our sessions. We had 6 plenary sessions, and we worshiped together. We celebrated together. We lamented and grieved together. We did good work, and I confess that I am weary. We elected the next delegation to represent our annual conference at the 2028 General Conference, the 2028 Jurisdictional Conference. And because of how our denomination is in a place of flux, a place of the unknown, as constitutional amendments push us toward a new structure, these same persons elected to General and Jurisdictional Conference are likely to join what will be the new United States Regional Conference of the United Methodist Church. There is much work to do, my friends. I confess that my soul is weary. And as I do, I ask you this question, this deeply Wesleyan question, this question that was asked when Wesleyans early and Methodists early in our history would gather in classes and bands. They would start with this question: how is it with your soul? The way I explain this question so often to many is, it's like asking someone, how are you doing, but like you really want to know the answer. Culturally, we don't always want to know the answer. Wesley encouraged us to say, how is it with your soul? In these smaller groups, in these intimate groups, in these groups where you can be yourself, where you can be vulnerable, where you can be authentic, where you can be held accountable and also hold your peers and friends accountable. How is it, my friends, with your soul? Because part of the work of this annual conference is that we, through the process of voting, chose to close 9 congregations. There are good and capable clergy doing good and incredible work serving those who are in need, and yet we still had to close 9 churches. This does not mean that there is not work that is good. here in our own San Diego region, our sister congregation, Pacific Beach, continues to serve hundreds of people each and every week, people who are hungry, people who are food insecure. Thank you to those who engage in this good and faithful work. Thank you to those who participate not only in cooking and preparing and serving a meal, but working so hard to do the necessary fundraising and food gathering for this essential work. Members of this congregation partner in an important way with our sister congregation to do this good work. I'm so grateful for the ministry of Foothills United Methodist Church, who, when a church closed, that property was not sold. Instead, it was repurposed as a ministry center. They have a food pantry where they give out food and diapers to mothers every single week. Our own Teresa Erb, who works in our office, is an essential part of this ministry. They do good work. They offer what is necessary to persons in the community. This is good and faithful work. I had the occasion to speak with an incredible and capable laywoman. She's an attorney. We have some in our midst. We like attorneys in this church. She works on immigration law. She's working on some of the difficulties around immigration that are present and real in our world. She does good and faithful work. She, by the way, was one of those who was elected to General and Jurisdictional Conference. She's smart and compassionate. You should know that after our annual conference session ended, by the rules of our Book of Discipline, the delegation must gather, must have an initial gathering that is welcomed and invited by the sitting bishop. Bishop Dottie Escobedo Frank was there. And part of what that group did was elected its chair, the person who would lead that delegation over these next couple of years. She's not a doctor yet. She's working on it. Erin Hawkins is the executive director of Connectional Ministries in our own annual conference. She is a lay person. Our delegation is led by a lay person and not a clergy person, something I celebrate. Soon to be Dr. Hawkins is wise and strategic and caring. And I think that she will lead us well. I confess to you, my friends, that I too was elected to serve on the jurisdictional delegation. Nothing other than a whole bunch of Zoom meetings will take place until 2028, where the jurisdictional gathering will happen somewhere in the California-Nevada annual conference. There is work to be done, and I confess to you, my friends, my soul is weary. My soul is weary because as we look about the world these days, there continues to be division, there continues to be disagreement, and I would suggest to you that disagreement and division do not have to always coexist. One does not mean necessarily the other. I had a lovely conversation a week ago with a member of this congregation. We were talking about ways that we disagree, and yet we stood and eye to eye, and we had good and faithful conversation. In disagreement and in grace, what a privilege it is to be a part of a congregation that welcomes all to the table, even when we might disagree. If you saw my weekly video from not this past Thursday, I believe, but the Thursday before, I talked about the incredible Explorers group that meets before worship, and I am 100% certain that there is not always disagreement in that room, and yet it is a room that brings grace and joy in being together. Indeed, my friends, I believe that in a time where we have coined the phrase cancel culture, the church is the solution. Where we can be in community one with another, accepting and celebrating the ways that we are different and the ways that we overlap, the ways that we bring joy, and the ways that we challenge one another and we hold one another accountable and we take that time to ask the essential question, how is it with your soul? I want to ask the prophet Jeremiah, how is it with his soul? Did you hear what he wrote in the 20th chapter as Anne read it? Did you hear? Lord, you enticed me and I was taken in. You were too strong for me and you prevailed. Now I'm laughed at all the time. Everyone mocks me. Jeremiah, how is it with your soul? Every time I open my mouth, I cry out and I say, violence and destruction. The Lord's word has brought me nothing but insult and injury constantly. Jeremiah, how is it with your soul? And if you remember the prophet Jeremiah, do you know what he's telling the people? He's telling the people of Jerusalem that the city will be destroyed. Do you think that's an easy message for a prophet to deliver? This writing from Jeremiah suggests maybe it's not so easy. Jeremiah, how is it with your soul? He writes, I thought, I'll forget him. I'll no longer speak his name. And I wonder, friends, if you've ever been in that place where you get so frustrated with what you think maybe God is calling you to do. And it feels so hard. It feels so challenging. Maybe you'd rather just lie under a rock. How is it with your soul, my friends? Panic lurks everywhere. All my friends are waiting for me to stumble. How is it with your soul? Have you felt this way? When we talked last week about the failures of our beloved tradition, how we did not do enough around racism, around sexism. When we look at our difficult history, do we feel as though every time we open our mouth and cry out violence and destruction, that the word brings us nothing but insult and injury constantly? Friends, how is it with your soul? Perhaps we can be enticed. But there is, friends, an intense fire. Intense fire in our hearts. John Wesley said his heart was strangely warmed. Perhaps you might remember the text about a still small voice that inspires us to continue to lift our voices. And yet, are we at risk? Are we at risk of our friends mocking us? Those who wait for us to stumble, are we at risk? Yes, my friends. Do you remember the story that I told about a conservative evangelist who talked about the importance of evangelism, acknowledging that we're not all called to go and stand on the corner outside the grocery store to proclaim the love of Jesus Christ? We're not all called in that way, but what are we called to do? Do we feel comfortable answering questions when somebody comes to us and says, tell me about your faith and spirituality? And this evangelist asked this essential question that I continue to think is relevant. Are we living lives that are so outlandish that somebody asks us the questions? Are we so bold in our faith that someone says to us, why do you do what you do? Why do you go to that church every single week and prepare a meal? What business have you? There will be poor always. Why do you do that thing? Why do you stand up for this person who is mocked? For this community who is marginalized, why do you stand up for them? You have no business doing such things. Why do you do this? Friends, how is it with your soul? One of the things that I particularly enjoy about the annual conference sessions is, for me, that is my place of permanence in the connection. There are paintings and photos, I guess they're photos, not paintings, in the hallway in the office that leads to my office. Please come and look, and maybe you'll see photos of pastors that you remember, pastors who touched your hearts, who were essential to the ministry here of La Jolla United Methodist Church. Not a single one of them was a member of this church. In the United Methodist tradition, we are members of the annual conference. That is our place of permanence. As we are moved from place to place, we are but sojourners among the congregations that we serve. And so one of the things that I love about the annual conference gathering is that is my place of permanence. It's not that I'm not connected with you all. It's not that I don't love you all. Indeed, I do. I feel that connection. And I recognize that it is temporary. There will be a time, I haven't asked for this, there will be a time when I am moved to another congregation that I must sojourn from this place to the next. And so the annual conference session is my place of permanence, my place of connection. I enjoy being able to serve and worship leadership here, but it's leadership. And sometimes when I go to another place, when I go to an annual conference session, when I go to another conference, I get to worship and not have to worry about what's next in the bulletin. But also sometimes when we gather with those that we love, we receive difficult news. I receive news that a friend of mine is wrestling with cancer. I invite you to pray for him. I got the news that a friend of mine was diagnosed with Parkinson's. I invite you to pray for him. I also got news from a friend that he is experiencing a new thing in the congregation that he serves. A new thing as more young people are showing up. There's a growing ministry with children and youth, and I celebrate alongside him. He is a dear friend. I was speaking with another colleague about a new opportunity where some part, an unused part of a property has been repurposed and now is offering low-income housing for people in need. This is good and faithful work, my friends. How is it with your soul? Because I come away from the annual conference session recognizing that there is more work to be done. The text that we read from the Gospel of Matthew is part of a larger pericope where Jesus is commissioning his disciples, his mission to the 12. And do you know what happens just before the section that we read? We started with disciples aren't greater than their teacher and slaves aren't greater than their master. But the paragraph just before, Jesus says this to his disciples. The heading in my Bible says, response to harassment. Jesus says, look, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. Therefore, be wise as snakes and innocent as doves. Watch out for people. What a phrase. Watch out for people. We are imperfect in our humanity. It reminds me of that phrase that's attributed to Gandhi. I think he said it. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe you know the phrase I'm talking about. He says, I like your Christ. I don't like your Christians. Jesus says, watch out for people because they will hand you over to councils and they will beat you in their synagogues. Friends, how is it with your soul? But he also says, therefore, don't be afraid of those people because nothing is hidden that won't be revealed and nothing secret that won't be brought out into the open. Jesus says, when we proclaim those messages that we receive in our hearts, that still small voice, that burning in our hearts that will not be contained even by our very bones, when we proclaim this message, when we are living our lives in such a way that we are questioned and we can respond, when we say that we are people of faith and this is why and how, it is then that we, dear friends, begin to change lives and hearts. Jesus, as capable as he is, understands that the people must participate in that fire. And I suggest, my friends, that no matter who stands on this platform, no matter which of the capable pastors have photos on that walls in the hallway, no matter whether it's me or a future pastor or a past pastor, it is not entirely the voice of the one who stands in this place that is sufficient. We must all raise our voices. We must all hear and experience that sense of fire that cannot be contained. We must all be sent in the world if we are to be known as disciples of Christ. The mission statement of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. One of the baptismal vows that is taken when a child or adult is baptized has to do with loyalty, but it's not about loyalty to the institution. It is about loyalty to Christ through the institution. How can we participate in changing the world together? How can we do this good work together? I'm not saying that there's no burden of leadership for whoever stands in this place. I'm saying that the one who stands in this place cannot do it alone. One of my favorite Wesleyan sermons is called The Catholic Spirit. And he's talking about being in disagreement with someone. And he says, if our minds cannot be alike, can our hearts be alike? Take my hand and let's take this journey together. I love that this is a place where we can journey together, where we can recognize that we are all at the table together. There was a Sunday that I said something a little bit on the edge. There were several people who came to me afterwards and they said, that was brave. There was someone else who came and said, I was angry. We continue to be at this place together. At this table together, because the one who calls us to this place is not the one who stands on this platform, but is the Christ who is present every time we gather. Friends, how is it with your soul? Do you feel that fire that cannot be contained? Can we do this work together? To make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? Can we be disciples ourselves who recognize that we are called into the world? Can we make disciples who learn who they are and that they are called into the world? My friends, how is it with your soul? I suggest that there are signs of hope as we consider engaging in this work together. I wish it was a study that came out of the United Methodist Church. I'm afraid it's not, but there's a study out of the Presbyterian Church, USA, showing a dramatic increase in new congregations. There are some regions of the United Methodist Church that are expressing new congregations being started, specifically in the South. But do you know there's a study out of Barna, from last year, it's a recent study that suggests that young persons are engaging with scripture and sacred text at a higher rate now than previously. There is an acceleration. I hope he doesn't mind my saying it, but Zach and a number of his classmates attend a weekly Bible study at their school before school starts, led by a local pastor. Yes, I'm trying to get in and help too. Friends, there is work before us. And there may be times that we feel like the prophet Jeremiah, where we're proclaiming a divine message and it feels like we're mocked at every turn. And we must hear that question, how is it with our souls? And we must also recognize that we are called by the risen Christ to go into the world as disciples, to make disciples. And we too, in those circumstances, must ask, how is it with our souls? And we must know that we do not do this good work alone. We are a connection. We engage in this journey together. I started by saying that after a week of annual conference, I am weary. And it's true, I am weary. I am weary and strengthened by a God who continues to call. I am weary and strengthened by a God who continues to put a fire in my heart that will not be contained even by my bones. I am weary and I am determined to respond to God's call and to do so with you. Join me, my friends. Amen.